so beautiful. You're visiting us for the first time, my dear. Hey, would you please give this to her? We just want to say welcome here. It's so wonderful to have you. What are we for? Ek moet nou aandag skenk. Ek het doof geraak. Van daar tot daar raak ek doof, julle. Sorry, man. Dis so 'n kondisie wat ek het. I don't know what they call it, but yeah. Look here. About 2 weeks ago, I was praying, and it was one of those times when I really felt despondent. And there was just this heaviness within my spirit, and I couldn't quite place it, you know. I couldn't quite tell God what it is, and I could not express myself to God. And I just went to him and I said, God, look here, I feel a bit despondent, I feel a bit down. There's a bit of a negative thing here within my spirit, and I know it doesn't belong here, and you need to help me. And as I was praying, the words of my sermon, my sermon title, popped into my mind, Adulam. And I did some research on what does it mean and what's the meaning of the word, because it's a really rich word. It's a really rich text. And so I want to talk about mourning when you are in your Adulam. In Afrikaans, here must be Adulam. Now, apparently, according to the Hebrew scholars, it's Adulam. Now, I don't know if there's a ch from my side that's missing. You know how these Hebrew people speak Adulam? I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, but according to Strong's, it's Adulam. So it's not Adulam, it's Adulam. I'm not trying to be funny or trying to look or sound cool, but it's Adulam. And I looked at it, what it meant, and where it is mentioned in Scripture, and a specific picture came to me when God said to me, Adulam, I knew exactly where I'm wanted to go. I knew exactly, where I should go. 1 Samuel chapter 22, verse 1 to 2. So David departed and escaped to the cave of Adulam. And when his brothers and all his father's house heard it, they went down there to him. And everyone in distress or in debt or discontented gathered to him, and he became a commander over them, and there were with him about 400 men. Now, it's a beautiful story about David. At this stage, David is already anointed as king. God told Saul, look, you're not going to be king over Israel anymore. I'm removing that authority over you. I'm just removing it from you. You're not king. David is going to be my king. And David already lived in the palace. David slayed Saul. David killed the Philistines. The woman sang. Saul killed thousands. David killed 10,000s. The man was moving. He was living in the palace. David did F4 for Saul. Whenever Saul's demons manifested, David played guitar. You know, and then Saul would be really calm and really cool as David ministered to him. One of those places where music ministers to people. Important that we see that music ministers to you. You should do this exercise as you worship. Listen to what the instruments tell you. It's another exercise that you can worship. But David was really moving. And Saul got really angry and jealous. So David escaped. A lot of stuff happened. And now he ends up in this cave, Adulam. And what I want you to see is the fact that David had to take refuge. And the first point I make there is David was a king, but he was still on the run. Sometimes in our lives, you would know everything that God had promised you, but it would seem to you that it's not happening. It would seem to you like you're running away. You're ducking and you're diving because everything evil is out to get you. But God says you're a king, And the reason why God allowed this was for David to run to God. The cave is a picture of grace. It's just like the ark. If you're in the ark, you're safe. You're Noah's homie. You won't drown. If you're in the cave, you're David's homie. It's a place of grace where you run to. Are you with me? And so what's important here, David had to live the promises of God in spite of the provocation. In spite of what Saul was doing to him, David had to live like a king in a cave. Do you remember a few years ago, "You're the King of My Castle"? Does anybody remember that song? "You're the King of My Castle"? Yeah. Anyway, but a king in a cave, it doesn't fit, eh? A king in a cave. Now, I can tell you, at this stage, there's a lot of Christians feeling like kings in caves. You all know what God thinks about you. You all know how God feels about you. But man, this place that I'm in, it just sucks. The situation that I'm in, it just sucks. But in your mind, you know how God feels about you. Isn't it so? You're a king in a cave. And now, when you know where to run to receive the refuge, to receive the grace, if you know where you need to go to as a Christian, God will always send people with you. Sorry, to you. And people will run and walk with you. But now it's interesting, the type of people that God sent to David. Number one, Scripture describes them as being distressed. They were oppressed to the point of anguish under a great deal of stress and pressure. Die druk van die lewe het hulle gedruk. You know, they were under, who's feeling like that this morning? You're in distress. There's just a lot of pressure on you. Is there anybody that feels like that? Can somebody be honest here this morning? There's a few people. You know, when you're in distress, that thing that you worry about, in the morning you wake up with that, and in the evening you also go sleep with that. Now, that's a good indication that you're under pressure. If it's something that really doesn't allow you to sleep comfortably. So in the morning when you wake up, you think about that thing. When you talk to people, you're quite happy, you drink your coffee, and then that thing interrupts your mindset. And you think about it again. But everybody sees you smiling. Hey, but in your mind you're thinking, oh my word, this thing is really bugging me. And then in the evening when you go to sleep, you think about it again. But now, these guys, it was much worse. They came to the point where they really wanted to crack. And I have a suspicion that it was because of King Saul. But those are the people, when you know where to run to, when you know where to find grace, God will always send people to you, because they also need the cave. All of us, don't we need the cave? The second person that God sent to David was those who were in debt. Financial bondage. Skuld. Now, I have to be honest. There's few Christians that does not have debt. Debt in itself isn't bad if you can manage it. If you can't manage debt, then it becomes a problem. Are you with me? Not all of us can buy, for instance, like a house, cash. You have to make a loan or a car. That's fine. But if you can manage it, if you manage it, and if you know that something will happen to you that you can pay it off, and you know, then it's fine. Then God doesn't have a problem with it. They call bad debt and good debt. You know, goeie skuld and slechte skuld. Nou, daar is baie Christene wat met slegte skuld sit. Dit wurg hulle. And sometimes you go through a season where it seems that things don't work out. And if you now live in Greece, where God has allowed the economy to crash, ooh, or you live in Zimbabwe, yay, there's not a lot that you can do. But you need a cave. If you're in Zimbabwe, the only thing that will make sense is the cave, the picture of grace. You need a buddy like David. If you don't have a buddy like David that can teach you the way of grace, woo, it's really difficult to sing, "You're beautiful." It becomes a burden. Then, discontented. If you look up the word, it's actually a combination of two words. People that were bitter of soul. Daar was 'n bitterheid in hulle siele. In other words, the soul, their minds, their will and their emotions, there was a bitterness there. An unexplainable bitterness. They couldn't explain it. Maybe it was of the way that Saul treated them. I'm speculating now. Maybe they were not happy with Saul. That's why they came to David. They didn't like Saul's style. But I can tell you also, there's a lot of Christians that feel like that within their souls. It's a mixed blessing to be a person. A lot of people feel like that. They feel like mixed blessings. Sometimes I'm a blessing, sometimes I'm not a blessing. Now I'm happy, now I'm not happy. Tomorrow I'm angry, this morning I'll smile with you. And sometimes I'll greet you, and then other times I won't greet you. It's funny how many Christians there are that don't want to greet. I'm just taking something so simple. They don't want to greet you, they don't want to lick you in the face. There's a bitterness of soul there. But I'm going to say this again and again. You need a friend that can teach you the way of grace. But they were there, taking refuge. Jesus said, just to qualify the picture, the cave, just to qualify so that Scripture might interpret Scripture, Matthew chapter 11 verse 28, Jesus says, come to me, in other words, come to the cave, come to the place of Christ, all you labor and are heavy laden, and overburdened, and I will cause you to rest. I will ease and relieve and refresh your souls. Not even Coca-Cola can do that, huh? In this summer of Worcester. Who's not from Worcester? And who lives in Worcester now? So how do you like the above 35s? 37, do you like it? It's hey, I'll tell you, Worcester. Worcester, Papa. Safe, mate. You've seen the board. Is die board nog gaan op, oorkant die N1? Het hom afgehaal, hy hoener. Hulle het 'n hoender se pootjie, 'n foto van geneem so, en onaan. Safe, mate. Rainbow chickens. You haven't seen that. Oh, you missed something. But Jesus says, you must come to me. You must come to the cave. You must come. I will give you rest. There's something within me, and I will bless you. And Jesus says, I'm going to give it to you, but there's something that you must do. Jesus says, you must take my yoke upon you. David and his 400 men with his mom and his dad took God's yoke upon them in the cave and learn from me. If you feel like anything that I've been talking about now, you must go to the place of grace and then you must learn from God. For God is gentle. He's gentle, although it doesn't feel like there's anything gentle going on around you. God is gentle. He's meek. God is humble in heart. God says you will find rest. You will find relief and ease and refreshment and recreation and blessed quietness of the Spirit. In other words, everything around you will be in chaos, but within your spirit, you will know who you are, and there will be rest and quiet. You will not be moved. Though I go through the valley, the death valley, I'll fear no evil. The Psalms. Again, for your souls. There's so many of us that needs healing within our souls, our minds, our will, and our emotions. So, I believe God is saying that we must create a place for people to meet Christ. God wants us as leaders. Every Christian, you're a leader. If you've given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, you're a leader. You must lead. And I really believe God wants to come and teach us how to create a cave. Not literally now, because we can't have church in a cave. Well, we can if there's war. But God wants us to teach people how to come to that place of safety. Now, when I say that every Christian is a leader, I'm also talking about rank. There's something about rank. There's something about rank that we need to catch within the kingdom. I'm just saying that because a lot of people, when I say every Christian is a leader, then they think, okay, then I can do what I want to do because I'm a leader. I'm not saying that. But you know what I mean when I say you're a leader. Verstaan julle hom? Kan ek 'n aanduiding kry? Do you understand him? Understand it? Yes, you can say something back. It's fine. Julle mag my iets terug sê, hoor. Dis nie so erg nie. A place of true rest. We really must create a place of true rest for so many people. There's a generation of people, they don't have rest. I can tell you what they have. They have money, they have booze, and they have a lot of things, but they don't have true rest. And we're going to have to learn with each other to create places like that. Places where people can come to and feel refreshed. They're disconnected. They're discontented. They're in debt. But we need to create those places. Every Christian. So, we must create a place where we can be a family under God's leadership. David was the leader of those 400 men. Now, a lot of you may think, oh, what a bunch of guys God gave David. But you know that was David's mighty men. Jy wil nie met daai manne gemors het nie. Nee, kom ons maak dit gou vir mekaar vir vanoggend duidelik. Daai was manne, ooh, jy wil nie met hulle gesukkel het nie. Hulle kon klip met linkerhand en regterhand gooi. Gaan lees in Eerste Kronieke hoofstuk 12, First Chronicles chapter 12. Just read about David's mighty men. These were his mighty men. And I can tell you, I have a suspicion there's so many mighty men sitting amongst us. And I can tell you, I've been praying to God, now God, you show me the mighty men. You show me their potential. I don't care about their debt. I don't care if they're discontented. I don't care, God, if they're bitter of soul, but God, there's mighty men amongst us. I don't care if they are depressed, God, you can deliver them, you can release them, but we need the mighty men. This is not a place of rebellion, but a place of mutual submission. What do I want to say about that? Remember, David was not in rebellion. David was hier, David se man, hulle was hier 'n wegbreek groepie wat in die grot by mekaar gekom het. If you look at Saul, Saul was the picture of the world. The world system, the world's way of thinking. David is a picture of Jesus. David is the picture of the kingdom. So Saul and David were the opposites. It's not rebellion. God is giving us a picture, a type of, this is how the world looks like. The world's kingdom. If you look at Saul, it's the world's kingdom. David is God's kingdom. This is how God's kingdom like. The world's kingdom seems that they have all the success. God's kingdom is in a cave. It looks really poor, but it's about the principle and where David is going with these guys. So it's a place of practical submission where we understand this is where we are and this is where we're going to within our kingdom principles. In 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 13 to 16, David says, "During harvest time, three of the 30 chief warriors came down to David at the cave of Adullam. While a band of the Philistines was encamped in the valley of Rephaim, at that time David was in the stronghold, and the Philistine garrison was in Bethlehem. David longed for water and said, 'Oh, that someone would get me a drink of water from the well near the gate of Bethlehem.' So the three mighty warriors broke through the Philistine lines, drew water from the well near the gate of Bethlehem and carried it back to David. But he refused to drink it. Instead, he poured it out before the Lord." I love this story. David says to this man, "Look, I'm thirsty. He's going to get me some water." Three of these 400 discontented, crazy guys, they say, "Look, we'll get water." Three men, they go into the Philistines' camp. They get water from the well. Now, in those days, you must remember, the well was in the middle of the army, because it was a central point. So in my mind, they had to fight through the army, fight their way back for water for David. And then what does David do? He throws the water out. Now, it's called the libation offering. He just brings it before God. He says, "God, whatever these guys did for me today, it's so precious in your sight. Not precious in my sight. It's precious in your sight, God. And so I'm giving it to you." They gave their lives for it. I want my thirst to be gone, but God will rather give it to you. Again, it's the place of Adullam. Again, it's the cave. Again, it's that place of grace where they're going to. And what I'm seeing here is that in this place that we create, number one, we must take ownership because we are stewards. Three of the guys took ownership of what they had to do. That is the type of place that we must create. Ownership. I'll do it. And I don't care, I'll finish this job. I'll even have a meeting at 3:30 in the morning to get the job done. Some of you think I'm joking, eh? I'm not joking. I've had meetings 3:00 in the morning to get the job done. If the job must be done, it must be done. As ons trek en ons moet nou trek en ons kinders moet in die huis slaap en dan jy werk tot 5:30 tot alles uitgepak is. Almal moet 'n plek hê, almal moet slaap. Goed moet in die kaste, ons moet die plek regkry want Vrydag kom die gaste, ons gaan dak nat maak. So daar kan nie nog, jy weet, bokse en kaste staan nie. Ons gaan braai, alles moet op sy plek wees. We get the job done. But it's the same principle that works within the kingdom of God. Is anybody thirsty? Yes. I'll get the water. You just watch me. A place, the cave is that place where we take ownership because we stewards. Rentmeesters. It's a stewardship principle. Open hand and an open heart. It's a place where you must bring your gift. Your gift you must bring to your family. Can I say something that will shock a lot of people this morning? Any church, I don't care where you go, if you are not a steward of your gift, and if you don't bring your gift to that family to serve, that place will never feel home. It will never feel like home. Ek gaan hom in Afrikaans sê. As jy nie in 'n huis dien nie, dan gaan 'n huis nooit vir jou soos huis voel nie. Jy gaan altyd voel soos iemand aan die buitekant. Jy gaan altyd soos die vreemdeling voel wat iets te sê het oor wat hulle gedoen het. Jy gaan altyd praat van hulle en nie ons nie. It's a place where we must learn to serve with our gift. I'm not saying it's something that you must do. Because a lot of people think, no, what must I do to feel at home? It's something at first that you must be. It's something that you must be. It's not something that God necessarily expects from you. It's something that should be necessarily inside of you. So it's a place where you need to bring your gift and you need to say, I want to be part of this family. That is why I am going to serve in this family. It's that place of grace. Now, isn't it funny that Scripture, by the power of the Holy Spirit, would call these men discontented, they're in debt, they're bitter of soul. Man, hulle is vrot, man. Nie een van ons wil hulle eers vir ons na 'n braai toe nooi nie. We don't want them near us. But in the same breath, Scripture would describe them as mighty men of valor. Now, isn't that powerful? Isn't that something powerful? That Scripture, the Holy Spirit will say that. Now, that blesses me. But you know what they had to do? They had to come to David, to the place of grace, to that cave. They had to come to Jesus. David is a picture of Jesus. And they had to say, look here, David, here we are. We lay our lives down. We're going to get water. We're going to fight the Philistines. We 400 men, but we stick with you. We run with this. It's the same when you come to Jesus. You tell Jesus, Jesus, it's all or nothing. You've led me here. I want to do this. You know, so many people, they go around shopping for churches. I just want to say that, and then when you talk to them, then the first thing they say, I don't feel peace. It's not about peace, it's about obedience. There's a lot of teaching going on around now about peace, having peace. I don't have peace in the cave. It's not about having peace in the cave. It's about doing what God says. And there's a lot of people running around after a false peace. They're actually making decisions out of their emotions. Dis eintlik uit hulle emosies uit wat hulle besluit maak. Maar God het eintlik lankal gesê, grot toe. There's a lot of leadership principles and a lot of things that I can talk about here. All that I want to say this morning, every one of us must be part of what God is doing within the cave, in that place of grace. So, to all the small group leaders, our first question is, how are we going to create a place where people will meet God? A place where they will feel safe. This is what you must talk about Wednesday at small group. And you can break it down. How am I going to let people feel safe when they come visit me at my home? How am I, if you're young now, going to let people feel when they come to my office to talk to me? I must create, as a Christian, I must create a place of grace, a cave, where people will feel at ease. You know, I've went to so many places, then I come in, and then the people type on their laptops, and then they don't look at me. Mr. Moses, this is Nobi, he sits along door. No, then I can sit there. Hulle sal nou by wees, hoor. Tell me, Conradie, wat van Venote, you know how it goes. It's not Conradie en Venote, I just made an example, please. I wasn't there, it's just an example. But you know, it's you don't feel safe, you don't feel welcome. I mean, I'm there with a need. I have a need. Just like these guys, they had needs. They were in debt. They were discontented. They were bitter of soul. And they needed a leader. They needed leadership. They really had needs. and somebody had to meet their needs. I was watching the movie last night again, Patch Adams, about the whole medical thing and how he just rebelled against the way people treated patients. You know, patient number 7468953, you can go in. And you go in. You're not Carlos, Moses. You're 78953. That's who you are. And 78953 has gangrene on his toe. And maybe, you know, we must, whatever. But you know what I'm saying? So, at your practice, at your class, if you're a teacher, I'm picking a lot on Desiree. Hey, maybe you sit at the back. You should sit around the corner. Then can't see you. But, you know, there's a thing that God wants us to see here. God wants us to create a dalam. God wants us to create a safe place for people to come here. We're going to talk about this a lot this year. We're going to get this right, and everybody's going to get this right by June. It's a tall order, but all of us, we're going to get this right by June. We're going to break through our cultural barriers. Ons kulturele muurtjies wat ons opbou. En ons muurtjies wat ons so by die huis, we're going to break through and we're going to do it the way Jesus does it. What I've been preaching about in Isaiah chapter 55, come. If you don't have money, come. I still can't figure it out how God could do this. He said, come. It's a feast. You don't have to pay. You don't need money. You can drink wine. You can drink milk. How God does this, I don't know, but I want to be like God. I really want God to teach me how to do this and to be culturally relevant. But anafurte, ons moet relevant wees vir die antwoorde daar buite. How are we going to create that safe place? To all the people that is hosts. Die klein groep gas, here, julle gaan hieroor moet dink. How are we going to make people feel welcome? How are we going to create an adalam so that whoever comes in there will receive leadership, love,